Hello, and welcome everyone to a new episode of FinTrust Capital Advisors from the Desk Of, our podcast about markets, life, and things financial. My name is Donna Rasiel, Senior Vice President and Investment Advisor here at FinTrust Capital. I am joined today with our Chief Investment Officer, Alan Gillespie. We are here to discuss the recent downgrade of the U.S. debt rating and what implications that has on the economy and to our investors. So let's jump in. Alan, so great to be with you today. I have just a couple questions for you.
Sure. Glad to be here, Donna.
The recent event on August the 1st, whereby Fitch Ratings downgraded the long-term debt from AAA to AA+, has many asking questions such as, what is that saying about our government? What is it saying about our economy?
Sure. The Fitch downgrade, this is the second time the U.S. has been downgraded. S&P undertook a similar action back in 2011. And, Fitch cited really a deterioration that they expect over the next 3 years in the fiscal condition of the nation. It cited the high and growing debt burden. Obviously, we've been on sort of a spending binge that really predates COVID, but really accelerated both during and post-COVID period. And then the erosion of governance, right? Particularly when compared to other similar countries. So really, those three factors is what led Fitch to downgrade the U.S. to AA+ rating.
Okay. Given that they have downgraded, do you see other rating agencies following suit? And if so, what would that impact be? And would there be any forced selling?
Yeah, right now, because you don't really cross what's known as a credit window, I don't think it leads to forced selling. The big one, when things drop from, say, high investment grade to low investment grade or below investment grade, those are really the triggers where, from a regulatory perspective. Now, I think And we got a glimpse of this in bank capital world with the recent bank crisis. The issue there was sovereign debt had a zero risk weighting, so the banks weren't actually holding adequate capital for how much they could move in relation to interest rates. And obviously, one of the ways governments default, I mean, ultimately, what is a credit rating? It seeks to measure a probability of default, and severity over some length of time, the various ways to measure that. But the way sovereign defaults play out is a little bit different than a corporate default because they have the option of printing money. So just, real quickly, just some color on sovereign defaults. They take various forms. So one, obviously, is what I call a repudiation, right? Those are rare. They do happen. Think of those as when complete governments turn over. Russian Revolution, you got a new government. They say any debts from the prior government we're not going to pay. So it's not a case of can't pay. It's a case of won't pay. So anytime you have big political turnover, right, probably not that case. Next option is you can restructure debts, right? That's another way sort of defaulted debt gets dealt with. And another is obviously inflation, right? And another is deflation, in which case you dial back your spending while productivity sort of takes off. That actually happened in the 1890s. You, in essence, repay the debt and put it back on better footing. So the first is, what is a rating? It's a probability of default in some sort of cumulative event. We seem to be content to be on a path to inflate, trying to inflate away our debt obligations, which is just a default in another form. But it doesn't mean the outcome to investors is going to be any less different. But the way that plays out in the market is the same. And what I mean by that is, if you have, say, $100 and you get a default with 40% severity, right, you get back 60 cents on the dollar, right? But if you experience, inflation at 2% for long enough, eventually, if you just stayed in cash, you're going to have lost 40% of your purchasing power. So either way, they will have taken and not repaid 40 cents of your currency, right? So the way sovereign defaults play out is very different across time. And then obviously our other, to your question, our other rating agencies, there is one more major, rating agency in the U.S., which is obviously Moody's. But then I think people are forgetting in the case of sovereign debt, China has its own rating agencies as well. And they had downgraded previously U.S. debt back during the other episode, which caused a little bit of a political firestorm. But obviously, the Chinese government, Chinese businesses and foreign businesses, you know, we have a lot of debt held by foreigners, and obviously they may or may not listen to domestic rating agencies who they might see as otherwise politically corrupted.
That's really helpful. I know a lot of our clients, given the interest rate environment, are owned in treasuries. You know, should there be concerns about those positions in their portfolio?
The rate always has to compensate you for the inflation. So what does a double A really translate into? You know, if you look historically, you say you took a bunch of double A rated bonds and held them with no turnover for 20 years. On average, about 2.5% of those will ultimately default, and the average loss would be about 40%. You know, on those that do default. So essentially what you're saying in the U.S., and the problem with the math, though, from an investor standpoint, means you could go along and that bond performed very well for 20 years, and on the last day it defaults, so you lose 40% of your money the very last day, right? Or in an inflationary environment, you're going to lose 40% incrementally over 20 years. So I think right now the treasuries are sort of barely compensating for the inflation risk. But I think what Fitch is pointing to is we do have some governance issues. I think we have some demographic issues where this debt burden is going to continue to grow because of the benefits promised to the boomers. And that is absorbing more and more. Now, it will improve, you know, as a function of demographics, but I believe when we get to that turning point, it will probably manifest itself in much more severe concerns about the sovereign's ability to deal with it, because the numbers, healthcare, right? Just think about what's going to happen to healthcare expenditures as the boomers age. Most healthcare dollars spent happened in the last year of life. And that's really going to go exponential as all these boomers, you know, who are on government programs enter that stage of life. And so your debt burden is really going to, and there doesn't seem to be any political will to fix it, right? So I think as we move through the decade, I don't think it's an immediate problem, a double A, but it is a 20-year problem. And it's one that when I look at the demographic curves, I think it's going to probably hit home between 28 and 32 with some severity, if I had to guess.
What portfolio positioning as it relates to fixed income markets should one consider, given the situation? How about corporates or other areas within the fixed income market?
Yeah, I mean, that ultimately corporates, you know, are one thing. I mean, we saw that during the 2008 crisis. We see that now. They're AAA rated companies. During 2008, there were about 50 global companies whose cyber debt, they act like countries. They're about the size of countries, but traded through cyber debt. You're right. And really that used to exist, if you think, pre-World War II, where governments weren't nearly as stable. Mobile capital frequently had lower interest rates than sovereign capital, right? Because think about this. Kings and princes would frequently engage in stupid wars and lose, right? And if you're on the losing end of a war, right, your ability to pay back debt is low, whereas the Medici or other families can move their money around the globe, accordingly. And so in many ways, global corporate capital can escape the most severe events in a way that a sovereign cannot. And so really the idea of sovereign debt being the highest rated debt is a modern phenomenon, post-World War II phenomenon, that really is not consistent with the full historical track record.
And to that point, what do you think about diversification within fixed income?
Yeah, I do, in part because, I mean, the nature of the corporate bond market, people don't think about how indexes are constructed. So if you go back 30 years ago, the bond indexes had a lot more corporate debt, a lot more mortgage debt than, but now because sovereign debt is, you know, we sort of ballooned the federal deficit, sovereign debt makes up a much bigger component. So in essence, if you wanted to have the same bond market exposure that buying the bond market would have been 30 years ago, you would own more corporates than you do today in the mix. So diversification is always a good idea. Again, I think currently we probably, I think the rate environment's reflective of the interest rate and inflation risk, you know, for the moment. But now that payments are north of $1 trillion, I don't know how long that's really going to be tolerable for the federal government to keep interest rates up independent of the inflation environment. because of what it does to their own budget.
So what I'm hearing is there's more concern about that than necessarily this downgrade.
Yeah, I don't think the downgrades are just, I think, reflective of where we are and where we're headed, right? I don't think it's an immediate, you know, sort of risk. I mean, AA companies just rarely, short of fraud, rarely does say a AA just absolutely default. Right? It's kind of like, you know, there's an old saying, how'd you go bankrupt? And the question is slowly and then all at once, right? It tends to build on itself, but certainly without corrective action, right? I think there doesn't seem to be any willingness to repay with any sort of consistency of the money. So to me, the most likely scenario looks like default through inflation, you know, at the moment.
Alan, anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
No, just, I mean, one would be just kind of immediate, right? And I don't know whether we'll see that kind of more slow motion. I do think the economy's in better shape versus the last downgrade. I mean, the last downgrade occurred coming out of the 08 recession, where we'd also spent a lot of money, right? As the economy recovered, you're able to dial that back. But back then, the underlying demographics, I don't think, were as constructive, right? Because the boomers had already passed peak spending and we really didn't have enough underlying. Whereas now we have the millennials coming along. So I actually think we could dial back a lot of the federal spending and not have as dramatic impact. But back then it did create a 10 to 15% correction in the equity markets. Maybe the same thing happens. It might be slower, don't know, but you know, computers love to do actuarial science and they will certainly dial in on that event. But I do think constructively we're a little less dependent on the stimulus. And it's not uncommon to see the fiscal situation deteriorate post-recession, right? But I think that if there's one thing that's kind of concerning a little bit is normally you see it deteriorate because tax revenues go down, spending goes up during recession, is that this time Fitch did it with like a 3-year outlook, right? So we continue to spend without the associated tax revenue. Now, it's not that tax revenue hadn't rebounded, it has, but spending, to put it in perspective, has gone from about $3.7 trillion a year to north of $6 trillion a year over the last 3 years with no appetite to even get it back to anything reasonable. So even though tax revenues have strongly rebounded, federal spending's up a lot. And just really hasn't been dialed back in. So that's really what I think Fitch was concerned about, is normally you sort of give that bulge and then it sort of backs off. We just haven't seen the backing off of spending programs.
So what I'm hearing is it's a little bit of stay tuned.
So it's a little bit of a stay tuned, but it's I think it's an important issue that is going to continue to build, and it won't be the last we've heard of it this decade.
Well, great. As always, Alan, thank you for your time today. It's always great to get your insights, knowledge, and thought leadership. Thank you all for listening today. We hope you found this podcast to be informative. It is our goal at FinTrust to provide insightful topics to add to your overall client experience. As always, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. We are happy to speak with you. We look forward to the next time you join us for From the Desk of Podcasts.
Securities offered through FinTrust Brokerage Services, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, and investment advisory services offered through FinTrust Capital Advisors, LLC. Insurance services offered through FinTrust Insurance and Benefits, Inc. Any views expressed in this message are those of the individual sender, except where the message states otherwise and the sender is authorized to state them through the views of any such entity. Trade instructions may not be accepted via email. This material does not constitute an offer to sell, solicitation of an offer to buy, recommendation to buy, or representation as the suitability or appropriateness of any security, financial product, or instrument, unless explicitly stated as such in the transcript or audio of the podcast. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future returns. Performance numbers have not necessarily been independently reviewed or audited, and therefore we make no representation as to its accuracy. Any reference to the terms of any contract should be treated as preliminary only and subject to our formal written confirmation. This information should not be construed as legal, regulatory, tax, or accounting advice. This message and any attached materials is for the sole use of the intended recipient or recipients and may contain information that is privileged, confidential, and exempt from disclosure under applicable law. Any review, dissemination, distribution, or duplication of this communication is strictly prohibited.